keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to Seculo. I just wanted to first start this show off. Logan Seculo, by the way, Will Haynes in studio as well.
I'm here.
And we wanted to first just start off and saying thank you for an amazing 2025. I know you heard me do that push over and over again for our year-end drive. And thank you again for all who supported the work of the ACLJ, whether that is our legal work as we are in court rapidly, continually, constantly, and our media work. And like I always say, we always strive to be the best of the best, to have the best crew, to have the best team of lawyers, to have the best media team. And none of that happens without you. So I just want to say, first and foremost, a big thank you as we head now into a new season for the ACLJ. 2025, we celebrated 35 years of ACLJ, and now we head into our 36th year, and we head into, again, a new chapter for the organization as we look to what the future may hold, as again, 2026, I'm sure just like 2025, will fly by with so much that happens on a continual basis here within the organization, of course, within the news.
That's right. And we have a lot going on even as we speak. We talked about how in December, things were so busy for our attorneys. They don't slow down just because it's a new year. Just this month alone, in January 2026, which is hard to believe, we've got things like this going on. We have an oral argument on a motion to dismiss on January 29th. That's in Massachusetts. That's regarding our lawsuit against the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with their attacks on the pro-life community.
It's headed into what, the third year, I guess, of doing this. I mean, 2 years since we started it, but heading into the third year of actually being involved in what happened in Massachusetts. And of course, there's things like going after Gavin Newsom, the state of California, for what they've done to some of these churches out there trying to collect these insane fines. Or we have other opportunities, specifically with the case that we're going to have against CNN, trying to kind of finally regulate what defamation can look like within this country.
That's right. And because we filed those cert petitions at the Supreme Court at the end of 2025, we should be getting replies from the other parties, whether it be the state of California or from CNN, towards the end of January, early February. So we get their reply brief, and then our attorneys go right back to work and write our reply to the opposition
the
brief.
Reply to the reply.
So then we're still working on those cases. We have an oral argument in New Orleans coming up on January 9th. So, you know, not long into the new year, we have an oral argument and an appeal that the Katy Independent School District in Texas, outside of Houston, put forward. Remember that teacher we told you about that was told, you're not able to pray anywhere a student can see you visible? We won at the lower court level, but now it is at the appeals court, the Fifth Circuit in New Orleans, oral argument on that January 9th. So Logan, I mean, in court in Chicago, there's a status conference January 20th on Street Preacher. So yeah, a lot going on in the courtroom early this year.
And we're also going to be expanding our media operation. You know, we did last year, we talked about the very end of the year, we talked about one of our new specials that we're working on, The Chilling Effect, The War on Free Speech. That'll be coming likely before the end of 2026. We got a lot going on with that project, as well as so many others. As the show continues to expand as well, we're going to be on some new networks, going to be on some new places. Again, we always try to do this entire operation without having to come up with some sort of paywall or something where you have to join to be a part of it. But of course, a lot of you do. A lot of you financially have supported the ACLJ through 2025, and we hope you consider doing that through 2026. All of our ACLJ champions, the people that give on a monthly basis, we know that you are doing the good work here. You are really spending your time and your energy to make sure the word gets out there for organizations like ours. So again, as we head in to this new year of 2026, I just wanted to start this off and just spend these first few minutes just saying how appreciative we are. We're not going anywhere. We have a packed year ahead. And of course, we have a packed show as well. And the show's not going anywhere. So make sure you always stay tuned. Make sure you're subscribing on YouTube and doing all of that. Help us out. That's a great free way to just do it. If you haven't subscribed, hit that subscribe button right now on YouTube. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Seculo. Hey, we are going to take your calls in the next segment. We have a lot of people watching, I know, specifically about the Minnesota fraud situation. We're going to discuss that even more when you have calls coming in, if that's what you want to talk about, or any of the topics that we have here on the ACLJ, or if you just want to talk about the work of the ACLJ, give me a call at 1-800-684-3110. We're now joined by Jeff Balaban from ACLJ Jerusalem. Jeff, it's some interesting comments that are coming in. We saw this over the Iranians essentially saying we're in a full-scale war. Is that really what was...
That's right, yes. Yeah, a full-scale war with the United States, Israel, and Europe. And that was just a few days ago. But now also, we're seeing that he's got trouble at home as some of the largest protests in years have hit the streets of Tehran.
He knows how do you win over that crowd to say, we're at war with America and Israel.
And Jeff, also, as we see this, it's because the sanctions seem to be working, that the currency is plummeting, the value of the currency in Iran, as prices surge. And as we've pointed out for years, it's because when you have lessened sanctions, like we saw under the Biden administration, what do? They fund terror. And when you tighten down sanctions, their money is not there. They're not funding terror, as we have seen, but also the people start to get restless because they are not helping their own people.
That's right. The people of Iran understand that their rulers are their enemies. The rulers are not their friends. And the rulers have, you know, now that the economy is getting tougher and tougher, sanctions are working, they're not rising up against those imposing the sanctions. They're rising up against those who are the cause of the sanctions, the terrible rulers who've declared war on humanity, declared war on America, on Israel, on Jews, on Christians, and have been striving towards that war and sending all their treasure to funding up this global terror war for years and years and years against America's assets, against Israel. And now it does look like the sanctions are working as the economy is falling worse and worse and worse. They're rising up against their leaders. And really, the world is waiting for a regime change there. People are always afraid of regime change. They're always afraid that what's going to happen could be even worse. It's hard to imagine it being worse than what's governed Iran for the last 47 years. Pure evil.
Well, and Jeff, what we saw was a real moment that could have been taken by not another faction of religious radicals back with the Green Revolution, back in the Obama days, that was ignored by the U.S. It wasn't even as though the U.S. had to send boots on the ground and get involved in that way, but just even give a nod to the people that what they're doing is just and noble. And the Obama administration could not bring themselves to do that. Meanwhile, Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, great. Let's go ahead and support this Arab Spring all over the world. And we saw how well that turned out. But you're seeing now even the chants in Iran get more bold. They're not just saying down with the Ayatollah, which they've said in previous ones. They're even explicitly calling on a return of the Shah. They are getting more bold. They are saying things in the streets that they know they can, their lives are at stake for being bold enough to say in the streets. Is this, and I know, Logan, you've got something, Jeff, to say.
I think that is something maybe we have to educate people on also, is when you think of Iran, I think for a lot of people maybe under the age of 50, you kind of lump in a lot of these Middle Eastern countries as sort of the same concept of what they are, and maybe you have a visual of what it is. Iran, before the revolution, before everything that happened, we are not talking about this the same kind of country. You're talking about a thriving economy, really the one of the greatest places to visit, we were told. I mean, obviously I didn't go. I was not around then, but in the area, we were not talking about this sort of, you know, in your head you sort of have this idea of what some of these Muslim nations look like.
No, that's true. Iran, you know, first of all, I know many people tend to lump it in as an Arab country. It's not. It's Persian. It's its own culture. It's an old, ancient, venerable culture. It had its own religion, which was sort of overwhelmed by Islam. Zoroastrianism was a very, very big religion. It still exists in some places, but it was overwhelmed by Iran. It had ancient communities. The Jewish community in Persia goes back, as we know, obviously to biblical times. Right. The story of Esther takes place there in the capital. So this is an ancient culture, and the current Islamic regime, the Shia regime, is relatively recent. It's 47 years old. When they had the revolution and they overthrew the Shah was fairly Western and secular in that respect. And it really changed everything for that regime. And so what's fascinating now is that the 20-somethings who grew up only knowing the oppression of an intense Shia Sharia law, only knew this, they're really rising up because they see what's happening in the rest of the world, and because they have some visibility into it, and they've had enough, and they want to be open to, you know, in Israel, for example, and we're talking as ACLJ Jerusalem, you know, the Israeli people would desperately love to see the Iranian people be free. There's not like there's a sense of an enmity or hostility or anger between, you know, the Israelis or the Jews and the Persians themselves, the Iranians themselves. It's this regime. Now, this regime has been chanting death to America from its inception. It started with the horrible, I mean, again, those of us old enough to remember, maybe not everyone here is, you know, when they took Americans hostage and everything changed. And since then, they've been chanting and fighting to destroy America. And make no mistake, you know, a threshold nuclear power with the ability to deliver nuclear weapons to America is a genuine threat. And that's what they were until moments ago. It was only this past year when finally Israel responded to their attacks by taking out their defenses and ruling the air over Tehran, and then finally America delivering the crushing blow to a couple of their most fearsome energy, you know, nuclear facilities, that we've had a new ability to see this kind of regime change. And we're all very hopeful that there will be regime change from within, that the Iranians will finally take back control of their lives and not be our enemies.
Well, I mean, Jeff, you bring up the story of Esther, which it also shows that the plot against the Jewish people from within the Persian Empire is ancient as well. What we saw in that story, though, is good conquering the evil of the plot against the Jewish people. And now in modern times, we know what happens when you let that plot take over and rule the empire. And that's what's happened. That's modern day Iran. That is what we're seeing. And it's not just a hatred of the Jewish people, as you said. It's a hatred of America and everything that the West stands for, everything that Judeo-Christian values stand for. That is what is being, one, suppressed in their own country from a brilliant people, the Persian people. If you meet Persian people that are Persian that have moved to America, some of the hardest working, kindest people that you'll meet. And what do they long for? For Persia to be made what it once was again. And it would be a wonderful thing for the world to see, one, not just the fall of Iran, but the what that culture in Persia can give to the world if they're able to thrive again, not in under the thumb of the theocratic dictatorship.
Yeah, look, in the story of Esther, when there's the big turnaround, first of all, what is it that gets everyone in trouble, that Haman demands that everyone bow to him, and Mordecai, that you won't bow to him? Well, that is very much a Judeo-Christian concept. We won't bow to tyrants. That's what America was founded on, that idea that we won't bow to tyranny. We only bow to God. And they want us to bow to them, and they want their people to bow to them, and they're keeping them under their thumb. And when there's the reversal, many of the people of the country join in to destroy the enemies, those who were trying to commit genocide against the Jews. So yeah, the biblical stories that we have obviously repeat generation after generation, millennium after millennium, but we see here there's an ancient proud people now being ruled by dictators who have said from the beginning, death to America, America's the great Satan, Israel's just a small Satan, and we're at this moment now where there's a lot of hope.
And Logan, as we showcase today a lot of the work that we've been doing here at the ACLJ that we continue to do in this new year, it's important for people to realize that the support they gave in 2025 is the reason that we are on air. We are doing this broadcast, but our legal team that worked throughout the holiday season, that is working on these very cases you're hearing about today, the entire reason that we are able to do this and we are able to move forward in a new year with strength is because of the members and champions of the ACLJ. So we want to thank them today for the support they showed us in the last year as we finished strong and are able to continue this fight, because we've got a busy month ahead. Really, January and February are extremely busy for our legal team. We know they're going to be extremely busy for our media team, and we are not stopping. We are moving into this year with strength because we know of those ACLJ supporters that supported us this last year.
We have to map out the entire year. That's really what we do here. Obviously, there are things that come up, times change, news breaks, things happen, you have to adjust and pivot, but we have to really start planning what 2026 looks like well before we got to 2026. So we're already talking about what happens second, third quarter of the year, what happens at the end of next year, what happens when we get to 2027, which we know is going to be a crazy year, and then, of course, coming right after that, it's going to get wild once again. We need you to get engaged in many different ways. I mean, we got the midterms later on this year. Can you believe that's where we're at? And then just a couple years away from what will be a new president of the United States. And how does that work in this cultural landscape? Our team is hard at work to plan on that. Of course, we're now in a big celebratory year also for the United States of America as we celebrate a big anniversary of ours, which will be fun to do when we get to the summertime. But with that, again, we just wanted to say thank you, and we'll be right back with more on Seculo.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Seculo, and I do want to take some time here in this segment to talk about The Chilling Effect, the new project that our media team is working on. The War on Free Speech is the subtitle, and it is a very important thing here at the ACLJ. The core mission is protecting First Amendment rights here at the ACLJ. So what we have seen over the past few years, this chilling effect, because of the heavy hand of government through censorship, through threats of arrest, through any of the other ways that they have gotten in the way of Americans' free speech right, we've been fighting back against. In this new series that we're working on, it's in production now, but as Logan says, we started seeing what was being produced already and knew that it could be much bigger. And that's where you come in to join alongside of us. We do this from time to time when we start working on a project and we see what it can be. And we know that you, the viewer, the listener of the Seculo broadcast, you know what we put out as the final product. We know that you will join with us to make it bigger and better and make everyone that can see it, get it as far and wide as we can. And so that's why we decided to turn to this week here in December, the Raise Your Voice Week, because you can stand alongside us as we get this message out, but also continuing the work of the ACLJ. When you raise your voice with us, we are much stronger. And that's what we are doing this week. We are highlighting what you can do, how you can join us by raising your own voice. And you can go to aclj.org/voice to be a part of this. But I want to play a few clips from this because I think it also ties in here. When you think about what the left has done over the past few years, what they've gotten away with, where when they want to push back and they want to literally create riots in the street or a judge that takes the law into her own hands, and then you think about the way that conservatives are treated for lawfully exercising their freedom of speech or their freedom of religion. It's so stark. And that's why we can't give up this fight. Because if you are a Christian or you are a conservative or if you are Jewish in this country, the left is coming after you. And they want to silence you. And they want to distort what you do and who you are. And that's why, not only through the work of the ACLJ, but our media arm as well, we have to push back. We have to showcase what we are fighting against. Because some stories, you may hear a headline, you may see a blog post on ACLJ.org that someone was arrested for their freedom of speech. And it sounds like we've heard this 1,000 times. This is what the ACLJ has been fighting for 35 years. But when you can see and hear the individuals, their courage that you can stand with is remarkable. Their calling that they are committed to. And they have to have allies like the ACLJ and folks like you, the listener and supporter and the champions of ACLJ, that will stand with them in this fight. So first, I want to play for you the trailer of this series that has been put together. Logan called it a teaser trailer, a stinger trailer. It is from the concepts that we have already put together, but there is so much out there that we are working on even currently and look forward to doing in early 2026. So let's go ahead and run this trailer for folks so they can get a concept of where it is. And then I want to play some from a specific segment right after that, and I'll pitch to it. So let's go ahead and play that trailer.
You look at the First Amendment. We have 5 liberties under the First Amendment. Your right to practice your faith, your right to assemble, your right to petition the government, free press, free speech. All critically important. The most important, in my judgment, is your right to talk.
This is your baby girl or your baby boy. This is not a clump of cells. This is not a parasite. This is your baby.
Today, while we have the time, call upon the name of Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul.
If someone believes that government is going to punish them for exercising their First Amendment rights, they might choose not to express themselves at all.
The FBI will crush you. This government will crush you if you try to expose the truth about things that they are doing that are wrong.
He's allowed to come forward under the law and tell us things that he believes that are happening that aren't supposed to.
Being here in America, I thought that it is our right to go out and share our faith.
We're always a little bit fearful that he or I will be taken to jail.
Is the government watching? Is there a chance I could face some kind of negative consequence now or down the road?
I was the one preaching on the mic when the police came. They came to me and said I should shut it down.
God tells you what to do, you cannot hesitate.
How many arrests will it take for you to stop?
I can't stop.
Once again, that was kind of the concept trailer that our team put together, which is it's wonderful. And it the working title, The Chilling Effect, I mean, you get chills watching that, hearing these stories of these individuals, also seeing people like Senator Mike Lee or Chairman Jim Jordan in those pieces that talk about the very core issues the ACLJ believes in and fights for every single day. We had attorneys in court yesterday, just ahead of Christmas, in Colorado, fighting for our clients. So the work here does not stop. And we have seen this uptick in the heavy hand of government going after religious speech. It's not going after protesters that want to shut down roads and set cars on fire and completely sow chaos in major cities that they seem to be worried about in some of these Democrat cities. Instead, it's the peaceful street preacher, the peaceful person on the sidewalk sharing their faith, sharing the good news. That's who gets arrested. And so I want to play this clip as well. This is about religious speech that we are seeing this attack on. And I will be back right after this short clip, but it's powerful when you watch it.
Today, while we have the time, call upon the name of Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul.
If someone believes that government is going to punish them for exercising their First Amendment rights, they might choose not to express themselves at all.
Being here in America, I thought that it is our right to go out and share our faith.
I was the one preaching on the mic when the police came. They came to me and said I should shut it down.
Someone on the other side, in the exact same location, on a public sidewalk, wouldn't be arrested, wouldn't be harassed. That's not free speech, that's not fair, that's not the way it's supposed to work.
The message gets around. If you street preach, you will face court obligations, fines, fees, and we absolutely believe that this is done with that purpose.
At the end of the day, every time we step out into the street, we have to be ready to give our life.
How many arrests will it take for you to stop?
I can't stop.
That line there at the end, it shows the courage of the clients of the ACLJ. How many arrests will it take to get you to stop? Effectively, how far does the government have to go to get you to stop exercising your freedom of speech, your freedom of religion? And our client responds with, I can't stop. That is true courage. That is the hero of these stories, the client that is doing what they are called to do and exercising their constitutional rights, doing it and seeing state governments, city governments come after them with the heavy hand of law enforcement, arresting them, putting them in the back of police cars. And we have to defend them in court. We have to defend their rights to express their faith. You can join those courageous clients by raising your voice today at aclj.org/voice.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to Seculo. I just wanted to first start this show off. Logan Seculo, by the way, Will Haynes in studio as well.
I'm here.
And we wanted to first just start off and saying thank you for an amazing 2025. I know you heard me do that push over and over again for our year-end drive. And thank you again for all who supported the work of the ACLJ, whether that is our legal work as we are in court rapidly, continually, constantly, and our media work. And like I always say, we always strive to be the best of the best, to have the best crew, to have the best team of lawyers, to have the best media team. And none of that happens without you. So I just want to say, first and foremost, a big thank you as we head now into a new season for the ACLJ. 2025, we celebrated 35 years of ACLJ, and now we head into our 36th year, and we head into, again, a new chapter for the organization as we look to what the future may hold, as again, 2026, I'm sure just like 2025, will fly by with so much that happens on a continual basis here within the organization, of course, within the news.
That's right, and we have a lot going on even as we speak. We talked about how in December, things were so busy for our attorneys. They don't slow down just because it's a new year. Just this month alone, in January 2026, which is hard to believe, we've got things like this going on. We have an oral argument on a motion to dismiss on January 29th. That's in Massachusetts. That's regarding our lawsuit against the Commonwealth of Massachusetts with their attacks on the pro-life community.
Yeah, it's headed into what, the third year, I guess, of doing this. I mean, 2 years since we started it, but heading into the third year of actually being involved in what happened in Massachusetts. And of course, there's things like going after Gavin Newsom, the state of California, for what they've done to some of these churches out there trying to collect these insane fines. Or we have other opportunities, specifically with the case we're going to have against CNN, trying to kind of finally regulate what defamation can look like within this country.
That's right. And because we filed those cert petitions at the Supreme Court at the end of 2025, we should be getting replies from the other parties, whether it be the state of California or from CNN, towards the end of January, early February. So we get their reply brief, and then our attorneys go right back to work and write our reply to the opposition
the
brief.
Reply to the reply.
So then we're still working on those cases. We have an oral argument in New Orleans coming up on January 9th. So, you know, not long into the new year, we have an oral argument and an appeal that the Katy Independent School District in Texas, outside of Houston, put forward. Remember that teacher we told you about that was told, you're not able to pray anywhere a student can see you visible. We won at the lower court level, but now it is at the appeals court, the Fifth Circuit in New Orleans, oral argument on that January 9th. So Logan, I mean, in court in Chicago, there's a status conference January 20th on Street Preacher. So yeah, a lot going on in the courtroom early this year.
And we're also
going
to be expanding our media operation. You know, we did last year, we talked about the very end of the year, we talked about one of our new specials that we're working on, The Chilling Effect, The War on Free Speech. That'll be coming likely before the end of 2026. We got a lot going on with that project, as well as so many others. As the show continues to expand as well, we're going to be on some new networks, going to be in some new places. Again, we always try to do this entire operation without having to come up with some sort of paywall or something where you have to join to be a part of it. But of course, a lot of you do. A lot of you financially have supported the ACLJ through 2025, and we hope you consider doing that through 2026. All of our ACLJ champions, the people that give on a monthly basis, we know that you are doing the good work here. You are really spending your time and your energy to make sure the word gets out there for organizations like ours. So again, as we head in to this new year of 2026, I just wanted to start this off and just spend these first few minutes just saying how appreciative we are. We're not going anywhere. We have a packed year ahead. And of course, we have a packed show as well. And the show's not going anywhere. So make sure you always stay tuned. Make sure you're subscribing on YouTube and doing all of that. Help us out. That's a great free way to just do it. If you haven't subscribed, hit that subscribe button right now on YouTube. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
Welcome back to Seculo. We are now joined by Jeff Balaban from ACLJ Jerusalem. I did want to give you an opportunity to call in at 1-800-684-3110 because we're going to take your calls in the next segment. 1-800-684-3110. Go ahead and get in line. Jeff, we are obviously marked the end of Hanukkah last night, which of course kicked off with tragedy in Australia, something that we're still kind of reeling from just 9 days later. Let's talk a bit about that, as we know that these countries like Australia that have essentially failed of really addressing anti-Semitism, as we know that it has grown and grown and grown and now gotten to the point where, sadly, it becomes a bit predictable. Before Hanukkah, I brought up with you, you know, how do people feel in Israel? Because we know we're heading towards another holiday. We know there's a time when Jewish people are gathered. And sadly, it started with a massacre once again. It's sad that it's become predictable in the Western world or in a country like Australia. So I want to get your thoughts on that as we kind of just talk about the global failure to confront this big issue.
Sure. You know, we think of Australia as a country very much like America. It's an Anglo country. It's a modern Western country. And so it seems closer to home when we see something like this happen in a place like Australia. But the truth is, this has become common across the world. Anywhere there are Jews, certainly where there aren't Jews, but anywhere there are Jews, it's since October 7th, the result of Jews being massacred, the result of the worst attack on Jews since the Holocaust has been not protecting Jews around the world, it's been protecting the Jews' enemies. It's actually, they're saying that Jews are an incitement. There's some places in the Western world where Jews are told you can't cross the street if you're wearing a yarmulke, or because your presence is an incitement to the people here. People are expressing shock to me that they're going for the first time over holidays to friends, let's say, and seeing to the Jewish friends and seeing synagogues surrounded by police and armed guards. I have a friend who runs I don't want to specify which state. He runs one of the Republican Party in one of the southern states. And he said he was shocked. He went to a Chabad, a religious institution. It was 6 SWAT teams outside just on a regular day.
Yeah, I mean, that has become the regular even here in Nashville. If you go to any of our Jewish community centers, they are not taking it lightly. It has been like this now for a couple of years. So I think a lot of those people are just waking up to it. And look, it's nothing new even for a lot of synagogues to have armed guards. A lot of us remember growing up seeing that happen. And of course, churches in America as well now have gotten a little bit more serious about that as time has gone on.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough situation, Jeff, because again, you want your house of worship to be able to be open and people to be welcomed. And at the same time, when you have got to take security seriously, there are ways to do that that aren't so, you know, invasive either. I think the left gets freaked out always. I think, oh, it's going to be untrained people with AK-47s walking around. No, that's not what it's going to be. And oftentimes, Jeff, we've had to even fight to make sure that synagogues could protect themselves.
That's right. We at the ACLJ took on cases. You know, New York, which is my home state, the governor keeps on trying to pass executive orders or run through executive orders to limit the rights of people to protect themselves. And there were some that really just like singled out houses of worship that you can carry with people's approval in certain places, public places, but not in a house of worship, even if everyone agrees, even if they want you there to help protect. Now, again, in all the synagogues that I'm familiar with in the New York area, which is I am what's called an Orthodox Jew, so we tend to go to synagogue at least a couple times a day. We have services multiple times a day, and it's been very organized. There's no such thing as a service that we don't make sure that there are people there who are armed, who are praying there. And we, as ACLJ, stepped in to defend houses of worship against this New York incursion against our rights to protect ourselves. And in fact, it was not just for synagogues, it was for all houses of worship. It happened to be our plaintiffs in those cases were synagogues.
Jeff, there's one thing also I wanted to bring up, especially as we talk about this Christmas season and Hanukkah just ending and Israel being the birthplace of where both of these holidays come from. I mean, there's a reason that it all goes back to Israel. And there's something that's not being talked about a lot in the media, if at all, even. And it's something that really, it highlights two things that ACLJ fights for aggressively here. One is defending Israel, as well as defending and standing up for Christians in Nigeria that are facing genocide and persecution. And one thing that this clip started circulating on social media of a Nigerian Christian woman that was interviewed, kind of man on the street style interview about finding safe haven in Israel, being protected in Israel, having to flee the violence against Christians in Nigeria. And I think it just speaks volumes of one, that even when no one's talking about the situation other than maybe the ACLJ really trying to highlight what's going on in Nigeria, and it started to come up in the news more of late, but you then look to the nation that will take a Nigerian Christian woman and protect them is the nation of Israel. They know the history, and they are also willing to protect Christians as well that are facing religious persecution and potential genocide. I just wanted to bring that up because I thought it was a beautiful thing to see this time of year.
I just thought it.
Unfortunately, I think we have lost Jeff here. We're going to try to reconnect with him. Phone lines are open for you as well, as I said, at 1-800-684-3110 as we try to reconnect with Jeff. You guys let me know when he's back.
Okay, wait, I think I'm back.
Go ahead. Yep, go ahead.
I'm back. Sorry about that. Yes. Okay. Yes. So, William, thank you for raising that issue. Look, today's the last day of Hanukkah, and the last day of Hanukkah is the culmination of, 8 days, and we add a light each night. There's an argument. When it was first founded, do we one a light each night, 8 nights? Is it going top to bottom? We add a night. And that spirit really exists very much in Israel. Israel is a lit, really the tiny little menorahs, but there's so many of them in the streets, in the windows. And soon there will be Christmas lights because Israel also, there's Christmas celebrated in many places in Israel, also very brightly. It is obviously the birthplace of Christmas. I guess the message is that with all of these things, which are really frightening, they really are, the notion is that we add light every night more and more. We want to take that into the world. And I think that we look at Israel, which does add light to the world, and it is a safe haven for Christians from around the region who are being really massacred. I mean, there really is a genocide going on in the Middle East, and it's not by Israel, but it's against Christians, it's against other minority religions in Muslim countries. And Israel's become the safe haven, whether it's from Africa or from other places or in the Middle East. And people are shocked at what a safe haven is. And especially the stuff you hear in America about it, it's so ridiculously false. But there, that is, and God bless Israel for being that safe haven for the Christians of the region. And it should continue to be a blessing to the world.
Yeah, but Logan, I remember the days when we do the tour groups to Israel, the big tours. And Jeff, people would always ask in a very polite way, but who are these African soldiers with the IDF? And then we'd explain, you know, back then it could have been Ethiopian. There was a big Jewish Ethiopian community that fled during their horrible things going on there, which borders Somalia. These places, I think, Jeff, it is so important to underscore those stories that not only are they allowed into the country, they're brought into the fabric of what makes Israel Israel. They serve in the military, and they can continue to serve past their 2 years and reach the highest of highest positions.
Listen, the greatness of our country, the greatness of America, is that it was founded on an ideal, and it was a consciously Judeo-Christian ideal. Israel is, you know, Israel and America really are the only two nations in the world that are that similar. They're founded on an idea, and they are a blessing to the world. And the fact is that a lot of people hate that, and they're fighting it from without and from within. And you look at what happened at Bondi and, you know, Bondi Beach, where people are just lighting to celebrate some joyous holiday, and people are massacred, and it's very hard not to focus on that negative, I guess, and I do think about it, we all do. We work on this every day of our lives at the ACLJ, protecting people of all religions from all kinds of incursions like this, especially physical violence.
And Logan, as we showcase today a lot of the work that we've been doing here at the ACLJ that we continue to do in this new year, it's important for people to realize that the support they gave in 2025 is the reason that we are on air. We are doing this broadcast, but our legal team that worked throughout the holiday season, that is working on these very cases you're hearing about today, the entire reason that we are able to do this and we are able to move forward in a new year with strength is because of the members and champions of the ACLJ. So we want to thank them today for the support they showed us in the last year as we finished strong and are able to continue this fight, because we've got a busy month ahead. Really, January and February are extremely busy for our legal team. We know they're going to be extremely busy for our media team, and we are not stopping. We are moving into this year with strength because we know of those ACLJ supporters that supported us this last year.
And we have to map out the entire year. That's really what we do here. Obviously, there are things that come up, times change, news breaks, things happen. You have to adjust and pivot. But we have to really start planning what 2026 looks like well before we got to 2026. So we're already talking about what happens second, third quarter of the year. What happens at the end of next year? What happens when we get to 2027, which we know is going to be a crazy year? And then, of course, coming right after that, it's going to get wild once again. We need you to get engaged in many different ways. I mean, we got the midterms later on this year. Can you believe that's where we're at? And then just a couple years away from what will be a new president of the United States. And how does that work in this cultural landscape? Our team is hard at work to plan on that. Of course, we're now in a big celebratory year also for the United States of America as we celebrate a big anniversary of ours, which will be fun to do when we get to the summertime. But with that, again, we just wanted to say thank you, and we'll be right back with more on Seculo.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. I'm Will Haynes, Jordan Seculo in studio with me, and joining us now is Chief Counsel of the ACLJ, Jay Seculo. And we are going to talk about that issue that Logan and I talked about yesterday, which is this probable cause issue with the search warrant on Mar-a-Lago. And what was released from the FBI to Senator Grassley was unclassified, declassified emails between the DOJ and the FBI discussing the issues surrounding a search warrant, which led to the raid on Mar-a-Lago. And what we find repeatedly throughout these emails that started in June of 2022 and went all the way until 4 days before the actual raid itself was an FBI in the Washington field office that was against executing a search warrant on Mar-a-Lago. They did not believe they had probable cause to get the search warrant on Mar-a-Lago. They were frustrated with the DOJ, which had told them things like, "I frankly don't give a blank about the optics in a search warrant executed on Mar-a-Lago." And this was all memorialized in memos, in emails, as the DOJ continued to push forward with a raid on Mar-a-Lago. We see that the FBI was concerned about this. And so I wanted to turn to our Chief Counsel, Jay Sekulow, now and get your thoughts on this. When you saw this news came out about the FBI's response to it, what was your first impression on this?
Well, the FBI agents that raised the concern about the lack of probable cause were correct. And the Department of Justice response with the expletive of "I don't care, you know, blank, how the atmospherics look," also showed you the callous indifference they had, not only to the former president, who's now again president of the United States, but also to the process itself. So I think this is not surprising, but I do really believe at the end of the day that there will be people held accountable. I know that's the great frustration. But we're seeing that already. There's hearings, there's oversight hearings. We're being very aggressive at the ACLJ in our government accountability project, going after these issues. So I'm optimistic that those responsible will be held liable. Does it take time? You bet. But I'm optimistic that at least the information's coming out and there'll be action taken on it.
Yeah, I mean, they say, you know, the FBI, they didn't believe it had probable cause. I mean, that's huge right there. But they also said this is not the actual best way to retrieve documents. This is for the optics. That's what it's all about. It is for the raid, the criminalization of the former president at the time, when in fact, usually when these kind of situations come up and such shortly after someone leaves office, if the FBI really just wants to go back to retrieve documents to make sure they're in the right place, they would do so in a much more calm way, speaking with the former president's team and go in there and get the files they need. They wouldn't do a raid with guns out. Dad.
Remember what they were trying to do here, and this is important. They were trying to disqualify President Trump from running again. So you had it in two contexts. You had all these indictments that came down, authorized by Merrick Garland, known by Joe Biden, who was president, while President Trump was running for re-election. And at the same time, and this is, I think, equally important, they were already planning to try to get him removed from the ballots of various states so he wouldn't get the nomination if, in fact, which he was, the Republicans' nominee for president. We know that firsthand because we represented the Republican Party of Colorado at the Supreme Court of the United States on that very issue.
So one of the ways that we talked about this yesterday, Logan and I, was when you think about the context of the work the ACLJ was doing at the same time as this going on, we were defending whistleblowers that the Biden administration, the FBI at the time, had put in a sort of professional purgatory where they could not get a new job. Their security clearance was suspended. all because they were trying to speak out against weaponization and abuses they saw going on within the Department of Justice and the FBI at the time. We see here that there were individuals within the FBI that were concerned and did not believe they had the proper steps to move forward. We also are talking about this project that we're working on, the chilling effect. And I think it ties in directly because when the federal government uses their heavy hand against whistleblowers, against Christians, against conservatives, what does it have on that? It has a chilling effect. It causes people to not want to speak out. And that's exactly what we're fighting here for at the end of the year, is to push back, to protect the First Amendment, to protect whistleblowers. And I think it's the perfect time to bring up something like this, because it's what we fight for every day here.
Well, we fight for it and we got justice. Remember, we represented whistleblowers that have now been made whole because of our litigation. And so, look, we get results. And I want to ask everybody that's listening to this broadcast right now, we've talked about the victories that we've had at the Supreme Court, representing the whistleblowers, going after government abuse, protecting free speech. Here's the issue. Will you stand with us right now as we move this forward? And I will tell you, the response over the last 3 days has been great. We want to continue this momentum into the end of the year. If you have not donated, we encourage you to do so today. So there's multiple ways you could stand with us. I encourage everybody that's listening to this broadcast right now, if you appreciate the work of the broadcast that's going on, we don't put things, as Logan says, behind paywalls. If you appreciate the legal work that we're doing, if you appreciate the government affairs work that we're doing, then stand with us right now as we stand for freedom of speech and liberty and protect your right to speak your mind.
That's right. Thank you so much for joining us today. And Jordan, we're going to get into this some more. We've got some other topics, as well as Congressman Moskowitz will be joining us in the back half. But that message there at the end, this is the final 2 weeks of the year as we really build towards what we can do in 2026 with all this momentum. It's such an important time to stand with the ACLJ at ACLJ.org.
That's right. I mean, it's a critical time for the legal work. We'll be filing more at the Supreme Court before the end of the year.
Logan, as we wrap up this show today, once again, we are thanking everyone for their support, but it has been a wonderful way to close out the year with all the work that we've been doing, seeing the support that we saw from the ACLJ members, champions, and it really gives us strength to move forward in this new year, knowing it's going to be a busy one as it's the 250th birthday of America. But we also know there's midterms elections. There's going to be a lot of things, a lot of distractions going on, but we are dedicated to the work of the ACLJ.
Yeah, I mean, let's not pretend 2025 was some easy task. You know, there's a lot of tragedy that happened, a lot of sadness, whether that was obviously all of the different things that happened throughout the year. And it was just tough. And we've seen that whether with Israel or with the Charlie Kirk assassination. So many things that happened in 2025 that it's easy to get kind of blurry on how you head into a new year, you know, fresh and be able to reset. But I am thankful for people like you who watch this show, not even those who just financially support. Financial support's great. But those of you who just watch and engage, maybe you're on our YouTube channel, maybe you're on Rumble, maybe you are on one of those outlets where you get to engage with a community of people. I'm just happy that we're able to provide that for a lot of people. We're able to provide a community of sometimes like-minded. Look, sometimes you get into discussions, but I like what we always do here is tell you the truth. We're never just going to tell you what you want to hear. And that's been a big, important push of the ACLJ. And with that, I wanted to say thank you, and we'll talk to you next time.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.